So welcome to this edition of Devono Spotlight. I'm delighted to be joined by Amanda and Andrea, both of whom are intimately involved in the whole kind of change around workplace, the way space is used. Amanda leading our workplace consultancy team and Andrea part of D3 Studio. Obviously, over the course of the last few months, there's been this general build-up towards a return to the office and lots of people contemplating what that may or may not mean for their business. Whilst we don't have all the answers, we're certainly starting to see trends, and it's those trends that we want to share with you through the course of this podcast. And hopefully, from what we've seen and the anecdotes that we have, you'll be able to take some interesting trends yourselves, which you can apply to your business. Amanda, I wonder if I could start with you from a workplace point of view. There's just a general kind of human instinct, which is always to try and seek conclusions to things. And there's a definite sense that actually with this pandemic, trying to find that point of no return is incredibly hard, because with every week that goes by, something else crops up that appears to change the rules of engagement. Have you got any perspectives or thoughts on what that might mean from a workplace point of view in terms of that ever-going change?
Yeah, so I think that the uncertainty that's been brought upon us is, you know, to use the buzzword of the year, unprecedented. You know, with Plan B, with booster jabs, new variants, winter coming, it's just led businesses to so much uncertainty. And I think what they need now more than just answers is the permission to not have the answer right now. I mean, there's businesses publishing strategies and then pulling them back, and, you know, people want one thing and businesses want another. I think it's important to just allow, you know, allow ourselves a bit of time to not just react, but review what's worked and what hasn't. So that's what the next kind of 18 months are, you know, time for businesses to look at their strategic plans, see how they're most productive. And, you know, productivity is directly linked to profitability. So you're going to want to talk to your human capital, the ones that are responsible for that productivity. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a big piece, is actually, you know, bringing your people into the decision and looking at, you know, allowing yourself the next bit of time to make that decision accurately for your business.
And I guess the whole point of our proposition, Office 23, is really suggesting within the title that actually we don't really expect there to be something approaching normal probably for another 15, 18 months from now. And so people have got to be agile in every sense, not least with their workplace strategy. Andrea, from a design point of view and from what clients are actually looking to do to their space, are you seeing people making calls yet on what the future might look like from the layout and use of space?
I would say it's pretty much like Amanda said. I think it's people are making plans and then they're changing them again, really. I would say in terms of the layout, it's definitely hot desking now. It's less space, and I'd say more flexible space as well. I think companies really don't want to have so many built elements now. They're looking at furniture solutions, and that's because they don't have the answers as to what the office space will be like in 6 months. So it's a little bit of trial and error, I would say, at the moment. So allowing for that within the layout we do for them, and the flexibility to be agile, and I think adapt and change to trends.
From the point of view of encouraging, because a big part of this is actually encouraging people to come back into the office, not just instructing them to do so. And you know, we've talked in the past about purpose, not policy, being the driver of people's return back to the office. What are you seeing as some of the challenges that clients are facing in persuading their people to come back into their offices, and what sort of things are clients looking to do to try and make that happen in a sort of seamless and very kind of natural type of way?
So I think there's kind of two parts to that. Is initially coming back to the office and returning is seen as a bit of a novelty because we've been stuck at home. But I think what people are then finding when they come to the office is it's not necessarily suitable anymore. So if it's just a sea of desks, you know, we realize, and most of us have been able to put desks in our home, that that's not really what we want the office to be used for. So I think it's really important to figure out what you want to use it for. And that's, you know, talking to businesses and teams and individuals, what's going to be most useful for you. And, you know, I think we all know that's collaboration, meeting, and there is still focused work, because not everyone has been able to, you know, have that space at home. So I think, you know, what businesses need to do is just kind of reestablish the requirement of the office. You know, it's not just for working. It's now for, you know, meeting other people rather than just working.
And there's been a lot talked about in terms of obsolescence of buildings and buildings kind of fit for purposeness. And certainly when you look at the increase in availability of stock in London in particular, a good proportion of the space that's coming onto the market is secondhand, and in some cases not very good secondhand. When you're doing all the good things that you've just referred to, Amanda, around persuading your people to come back into the office, but you're doing it within a space that's challenged for whatever reason, either, you know, maybe the ventilation isn't great, or you can't open windows, or, you know, the access to your floor is restricted to lifts, etc. Are there things, and I guess this is a question for you, Andrea, that building owners need to be thinking about to kind of remedy some of the problems that they might face in the short term around some of those older buildings?
Yes, I think without a doubt, I think that definitely landlords need to, I think, revamp their space. And we're seeing a lot of that now. So just, I think, the general entrance into the office really starts in the reception area downstairs. I think they need to have the facilities more around meeting, perhaps within the lobbies, to look if they have, you know, cycle provisions for cyclists, showers, etc. So I think the general journey through the space is really important. I think previously, I think landlords could have got away with, you know, having a little bit of a drab entrance area, and then you walk onto the floor, and then I think tenants would kind of create their brand and arrival area there. But I think now the pull into London in general, and just making the buildings much more attractive, I think from street level, there's lots that can be done, has been done at the moment.
If I get you both to whip out your crystal balls, if you were looking forward for the next sort of 15 to 18 months, if you take the Office 23 concept proposition, what do you think are the sorts of things from a workplace and from a design and space utilization perspective? What do you think the three things we're going to see for each of you over the course of the next 15, 18 months that will both be challenging but also a fantastic opportunity to just reimagine things?
I would say the trend for smaller spaces will continue, and also perhaps shared spaces more. So perhaps, like you said, it's a crystal ball. You know, there could be a concept around similar businesses sharing a lease and one workspace, I think, as people don't want to have the larger overheads in terms of the office. And again, greater flexibility. I think we're going to see much more around. I know we've seen a lot of Cat A Plus, but I think there's going to be a lot more around furniture solutions going forward, just to offer that flexibility. I think furniture is going to play a huge role going forward.
You know, I think we're going to see, you know, this balance of employee-employer, the kind of struggle we're seeing at the moment with some people wanting to stay home and businesses wanting people to come in. So I think we're going to see that balance out. And that comes back to what I was saying initially about, you know, understanding where people are most productive and what the office is for. So we'll see, you know, kind of the employee voice being heard and hopefully being listened to, and then coming out into a balance of something that's going to work for everyone. So, you know, the space and the office and the work style, working for the business, the team, and the individual. And then I think another thing that's going to come out of these, and it's a little bit in Andrea's territory, but is a more intentionally designed space. So being more considerate of the user experience. So from the digital experience at home all the way through to, you know, the client experience in the office. So, you know, businesses being able to really look at how everyone's treated with equity. If they're going for a hybrid model, you have half the people at the office and half the people at home. And then also thinking about a client experience, if clients are going to be, you know, less inclined to necessarily come into a space. There's a lot more intentional design that needs to happen. And that's, you know, both the office space and both the office space and the digital experience. So I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of joining up.
And I think just to add to that, I think in terms of the balance you said for people coming back to the office, I think many employees will now look for perhaps proof on how that you can measure where you're more productive as well. So I think that's a key thing, isn't it? Because some people may feel they're more productive at home, but actually they may be in the office. So I think some maybe some ways to measure that, I think, would be quite key.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's the way that we're doing these surveys now is self-reporting. So it's, you know, you're hoping that people are going to be honest with where they are most productive. But I think it adds to a new way of management needs to be brought out, you know, managing people remotely, which we've kind of got a taste of, you know, over the last couple of years. But really setting KPIs for maybe roles that wouldn't have KPIs before. You know, it's not monitoring people's online time or monitoring clicks and all that. Like, that's quite scary. But, you know, being able to set KPIs to make sure, well, are you getting done everything you need to get done this week? And so it's not a heavier handed managing. It's just a smarter way to manage, which makes managers' lives easier. And so they don't have to fret so much that people aren't doing what they need to do. So it's a lot. There's going to be a lot of work to make it, to make us, everyone, feel comfortable with it, I think.
And I guess that's more and more relevant with, you know, the changes recently with the reforms to requesting home working versus just being entitled to work from home. You know, that ability to monitor and manage remotely will be critical, won't it? Fascinating. Look, really enjoyed that. Thank you for your time, both. And thank you very much for watching this podcast. If we can help with any real estate matter, whether it's related to workplace consultancy design or indeed any strategy implementation, please do get in touch. But for now, thank you for watching.